Thank you so much, Hal. I appreciate that. I don't think I've ever been introduced so kindly. Dan, I thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do this opportunity. I'm Andy. I'm a compulsive gambler. And the reason I'm here is because I'm powerless over gambling. And what Hal was saying is exactly why I'm here. And the only message I truly have is this is the return to the love of God that never left me and that I never knew because I was blind. I want to thank Saki for being here. The first person I ever met when I came to a PGHR meeting in 2019, he was there. He said, hey, he welcomed me. He said, it was a loving embrace. And he told me it's a lose-lose situation. And although I didn't listen, I always remembered him. And I thank him for being here today. And I thank him for being a good friend and showing me and telling me, trying to get it through my thick head, that gambling was a lose-lose situation. Thank you, Saki. You're a definition of a good worker of this program and somebody who is loving and caring and forgiving and appreciate you. Hal P. Pops, the guy that got every nugget that I ever, when I opened my ears, everything you said to me has helped me. And I'm so glad that my ears were open. My heart was open to something new. I really don't know what opened my ears because I was a monster. I think I'll start with not a moment of silence, but just remembering Bruce P., who brought these the RRO meetings. And I know this is a GA meeting, but Bruce P., who passed away recently, was the only outlet for me. There was only like one meeting in my area, and at that meeting, at a pinning. Let me say it again. My first meeting after my last bet was 1/1/26. It's been a year of ups and downs, but I haven't found the solution in gambling. But Bruce P., who started RRO, who passed away, I thank him because I think without him, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have met Hal. I wouldn't have met Saki. I wouldn't have met Arnie L. I wouldn't have met Dan H. I wouldn't have met Ed. I wouldn't have met all the friends I have in this program and this real world that I live in this program where I can be vulnerable and share and be understood. And Chet, who started the Traverse City meeting where I met Hal P., he recently passed away. Actually, a month ago, nobody knew. And I just recently found out that he passed away yesterday. And it was a day full of tears and a day full of joy because at least he started it. And at least these people, you know, it makes me just think of all the people in this program that have way more time than me and how at one point I wouldn't listen to them and I wouldn't take their advice or their suggestions, but then I lose them. And then it's like, well, I need to, you know, each day the love of God returns me to understanding others and loving others. And I just want to say, that the people that are here that share their hearts out and have a whole lot of experience and live day to day gamble free, I really appreciate that. And it's such a good opportunity, these programs and these Zoom meetings. So again, thank you for the opportunity. And I want to start, like Saki said, start at the beginning. My life as a young child. My first memory was fear. You know, fear brought me here. Faith keeps me here. Love keeps me here. But pain brought me here, too. But my first memory that I can think of was my dad standing at a sliding glass window with a hammer. And he was banging on it. I think I was about maybe 4 years old. And he was banging on it. Bam! And it wouldn't break, but it was like to the point where I didn't understand how he knew how to hit it without breaking it. And it scared me. I was sitting there eating oatmeal with my brother Joe, and he was telling my mom to call it his mom because he wanted the prescription medication that he was addicted to. And he bam, bam. And finally, my mom picked up the phone because she was scared too. And she called him, and I just remember that day. His mother pulled up and gave him something out of her purse, and my mom chased the car down, hitting it with her purse, and left my mom and me in a cloud of dust. And I was so scared of my father. And he My father was a compulsive gambler and an addict, and he took his life in 1991. I remember him telling me 3 days before Christmas that he got me a train, and I was so happy that he had got me a train, and I was anticipating it. And then my brothers woke me up. They're like, come downstairs, and it was Christmas Eve. And I came downstairs and my whole family was there and they told me my dad had, they didn't tell me he took his life because I was too young. They told me he was very sick and he died. And I remember thinking, damn, where's, I didn't get the train, that damn train. And why would my brother, I just ran upstairs and I remember that day I just felt like I lost something. I lost something in myself. I think that started the blinding of God's love to me, just that pain, I didn't think I deserved any love because most of my life was full, and even remembering my father and mother, their relationship, it was abuse, abuse. And that's all I wanted to talk about in the beginning of my life, where I learned about abuse. There's so many religions in this world, but in most of them, there's a golden rule to treat others as I would want to be treated. And anything that breaks that golden rule is abuse. And if you think about it, if I treat anybody the way I don't want to be treated, I'm abusing. And there's nothing another person can say or do that can make me say or do something that I know in my conscience is wrong. I'll repeat it because that's a hard one to remember. There's nothing another person can say or do that can make me say or do something I know in my conscience is wrong. And I learned that this block of God's love was my ego. And that I would justify my actions and shut down my personal guidance system, my conscience, by thinking in the red, the anger. Oh, he did this to me. She did this to me. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. I'm gonna make it right. Two wrongs don't make a right. Three lefts do. I'm just kidding. Three lefts do. but yeah, doing, responding against my shutting my conscience down by justifying that's the ego. Hey, they did this to you. Show 'em what they deserve, and I think I'll move on to what Arne Yell taught me. Go get a hold of little Andy. Get a hold of little Andy and tell him you found the program of GA and you found the help because I did. This is the only help for me. I know it. I know it. I've been to 100 therapy sessions. I've been to many group therapies, and nobody really understands my brain like a compulsive gambler. And GA offers that solution. So, and I've only, I used the term only because I've never made it to this far, not gambling. I'm coming up on 6 months, so I really want to focus on the newcomer. This is the help for me. I don't have to look any further for help. I was searching and searching and searching and searching. I don't have to search anymore. I found GA and this is the help. I don't have to put it off anymore. I can start today. I can start today and so can you. Any of you that are newcomers and are questioning whether this is the help or not, I can tell you from experience that this is the only help. It can lead me back to a better way of thinking. Arnie told me to go get a hold of him, and I did. I did get a hold of little Andy and told him, hey, I got it from here. GA's got it from here. God's got it from here. Am I serving myself in my own thinking, or am I serving the love of God? Am I being kind to others? Am I being kind to others? That's what I'm always asking myself, and several times I abandon God. I get into my own thinking again, and I start abusing others, and it gets me back into that thinking that took me right to the bet, and I hear people, they lost so much, whether they lost their car, they lost their family. I'm so thankful that I have my family today. I was going to lose them. I was going to take myself from them. And, I want to tell the story that tall Paul Nelson told me. It'll help fill in this, 11 minutes I got left. It's a story of a violin, a violin at auction, and it's very important to me. There's an old dusty violin at auction, untuned, and they're trying to get bids on it. Nobody's bidding. It's just an ugly, dusty, untuned violin. But somebody that looks almost exactly like Hal P stands up, walks up to the podium, dusts it off, tunes it up, picks up the bow, and plays the most beautiful song you've ever heard. And what that taught me, I was told this on a day where I was going to take myself out of this world, just because I just didn't feel worthy, didn't want to live anymore because I had destroyed myself through gambling, and I was still blaming. But what it taught me was, though I feel worthless and I may appear worthless and I may be untuned, unlearned, and not know about just anything, that with just a simple touch of the master's hand that I can, there can be some worth. And when I heard that, that was fantastic and it gave me chills, but I was called to a restoration project where a woman's house had flooded and she was standing in the garage when I got there and I was going to dry out her garage and her kitchen that flooded. And she was holding a violin in her hand the same night. She said, "This was my husband's. Please put this somewhere safe." And I'm just like, yeah. There's been several other times, you know, I was at the park with my daughter and I looked down and there was a card like A, B, C, D flash cards and it was V and I turned it over and it was a violin. Finally, you know, I can start seeing these subtle signs to me that being with my daughter at the park isn't a chore. It's a blessing. And GA's brought me to that. I don't have to watch my children. I don't, I used to tell people when I golfing all the time, I got to go pick up the kids. I got to do this. I used to like even be resentful for having to go pick up my child from school because I wanted to continue to gamble. And that's just not true anymore for me today. I don't golf, you know, Hal P, you know, maybe don't golf so much with these hooligans. Maybe take your son out there and let him have a good time. And, you know, GA has changed the way I treat my family, the way I look at my family as a blessing and so full of gratitude for it. Now, there was a rebellious Andy that before I started gambling, you know, all that pain and stuff, I turned into abusing others, whether or not it was drug use, marijuana use, you know, pornography, treating other people ridiculously ridiculous, thinking I was important and always wanting the pat on the back, always wanting, you know, somebody to tell me I'm awesome. And, you know, even in my music that I create, you know, there was a whole lot of ego in it. And the ego, I guess, now that I've said it again, you know, the story and the mind that lies to it. Anybody that says, oh, there's something good about the ego, I have an argument for that. And it's not so much an argument because with the ego, there is no argument. You know, there is an argument. With the ego, there is a struggle and a fight and a battle. But with the spirit of God's love, there is no battle. It's only peace. Only kindness, only a smile, only a prayer, only the beauty of God's creation. That's what I've also learned because I thought I believed in God before I came into this program. I did. I believed in some image and I may have had a small relationship with him, but nowhere near what the program has brought me, this kindness and this ability to, you know, because just being here, I almost, you know, this egotistical guilt that comes up. It's like every day I ask God to lower me, let my hand stay out to help others. But here I am talking to a bunch of people. And I want to make sure that I'm being honest because, it's not about me. It's about the program and what it's done for me. So any of my accomplishments, you know, I think my biggest accomplishment is today I'm a T-ball coach and I got two more games. I got practice tonight. And my uncle that I always had a resentment for said, if you can do this, if you can coach these kids, Andy, you can do anything. And it was so important for me to hear that from him because I don't believe I ever heard anything positive come from that man's mouth. Even though I love him and respect him, I never heard anything like that. So. But, you know, just to be able to encourage children and not, you know, and not have any ego, empower the parents, T-ball is different than as you get older, and winning comes a little more important in sports and stuff. But T-ball is all about having fun and tricking these kids to come in, come on back next year to get coached by somebody that really wants to win. I don't think I'll stray from T-ball coaching because it's been my favorite thing to do. It's been a really learning experience for me. And my wife does it with me. She's the dugout coach. She brings the snacks. And I think it brings us closer together. And my wonderful wife, she got sick with me while I was gambling. She never gambled. She went a couple times with me, and she witnessed it. But I'm so thankful for, and I'm so thankful for the people in this program. And I'd be dead or in jail for sure without the people in this program. And I hope somebody heard that violin story, the story of my father. I forgive my father for taking his life. I understand. I don't have to be understood anymore. I understand why he did it. I do. I wish he had found the help. But I know that he's, I'm more like a George Carlin type. I don't think people are up in heaven just looking down. There's better things to do after a person passes away than look down at this miserable world. And I want to say, before I go out to the real world, when people say that, I've heard Hal P share this, and I agree totally with it. The real world is not outside in the delusional world. There's so many people in destruction gambling that it's a huge blessing that I found GA, because I would be out there with them. They don't even know they're in destruction. And hopefully there's a big a big return to the love of God that never left us. But for the people here, I thank you for listening to me. This is such a good learning opportunity for me. And what I want to say most is thank you, Ed, for being a good friend. And that belly laugh I had last night talking to my friend Ed on this meeting. It, I didn't think I'd ever have one of those again. And, it just, it, there's just so much that good happening in my life that I can't forget. Just Ed, man, a true friend, people that understand me. I understand. I understand the madness. I was walking around casinos, taking cigarette butts out of ashtrays during COVID. I was stealing change from machines until I had enough money to get the gas because I was so broke, and then I'd either lose that ticket or gamble that away. And I was just stuck like Tony Soprano, just stuck in the casino, just Kevin Finnerty, I just stuck. It was like this living nightmare, and I couldn't get out of it, And my prayers only went as high as the casino ceiling, and they bounced back and smacked me right in the face. One thing I know is the love of God is not in the casino. It is in this program, and it helps me be a better member of my community and my church. So I always leave religion out of it because it says to. But an important thing is there's this fear of talking about God, but I just want to remind everybody that on the front of this yellow book, right after Gamblers Anonymous, it says, "God, grant me the serenity." That prayer is very important for me, and I say it a lot because I leave God. I try not to leave him anymore, but I go from him, and I start thinking Andy's way, and I allow the ego to find soft spots, and it's always searching. So I just want to remind everybody to be ever vigilant on their thinking. Because my thinking will take me right back to the bed, and I'll lose my car, and I'll lose my house, and I'll lose my wife, and I'll lose my children, and I'll end up dead and alone with people hating me. I just don't want that. And that's not what's going on today. And I think I've shared enough. I want to thank Hal P again. I want to thank you guys for listening to me. And I know that all the learning in the world and all the philosophical terms and all that, they do not compare to the love of my higher power. And I find it right here in this room, the spirit of this room, it glows. And I hope somebody got something out of it. But I definitely feel a little lighter than I was feeling. Thank you for letting me share. Dan, I appreciate you.
That is an amazing share, Andy. I really, really appreciate your service today, coming in literally a couple of days ago, finding out that you're going to be sharing today and doing such a great job with it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is being recorded. And we're not quite done yet because there's maybe some questions or comments some of the members may have for you. But I'm very impressed with the fact that, just 6 months into the program, you've got all this experience and you're able to talk to us and especially the people that are new in the program that can relate to you more than ever. So really appreciate that. And we already have two hands up. It's going to be Saki first and then David. Saki, you're up first. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. My name's Saki. I'm a compulsive gambler, and my date of absence is August 24th, 1988. Dan H., thank you for your service, probably along with Tony, Claire, Frank, or the usual suspects. If I missed somebody, I apologize. I didn't look. Wow, Andy H. Huh. We used to call him No Luck because Andy always lost. We called him Andy No Luck. That's I have his number. Andy H. No Luck. Wow, Andy, you did a great job, brother. You honestly, I'm sitting here. My phone went out like four or five times before you started speaking. Once I'm like, I don't know what it is, the signal. It was trying. God was testing me to see how quick I am. First of all, one of the joys I ever had in my life was coaching Little League. I coached Little League when I was single before I had boys and both my boys, so I enjoyed it. So I'm gonna retire soon. So when I do retire, I will help you coach. Anytime you need help, I'll do that. And I also have seen George Carlin three times back in the day. But Billy, I want to just tell you that you're not the same person. You're not the same guy. I haven't smoked weed in 3 years. I remember being high and having martinis during COVID, and we were like, "Oh, who's more high, are you or me?" And we'd be on meetings all day during COVID. And I'm so proud of you, brother. I know other people want to say nice things about you, but I want to personally tell you, I love you, and you're looking good, brother. Have a nice day. Thank you.
I love you too, Don. Thank you.
That was beautiful, both of you. David P, you're next, then Brent. Hey, David.
Yeah, hi, Andy.
Hey,
Congrats
sir.
on your 6 months. Thank you for your wonderful share. And I also wanted to thank Dan and Andy and Claire for co-hosting, keeping this room safe. My name is David P. Compulsive gambler, abstinence
Sure.
state, 12/31/2024. I came into a GA program in 1998. What really stood out for me is that stop gambling 6 months seems like you're very close to your family, and you have done something special to be with your family. And me today, yeah, I'm with my family, but not that close. I'm not that comfortable sitting there. They still side eyeing me whenever we get together on the family gathering. So it is kind of difficult task. How was it to get there? You seem like you're very comfortable. Maybe the coaching the little league with your wife, maybe that's something that you were doing it that made you closer to your family. But I just wanted to know what made you be so confidently be comfortable with your family after 6 months of stop gambling.
Very good question. I would say the trust isn't all there. Even though I'm there, even though they see a big change, trust was broken. I gambled for 22 years, and I wasn't there for my wife. I wasn't present for my wife or my first son or my son at all. Even when I was there, I wasn't there. I was always checking the score, checking the stocks, checking the bank account, checking who wanted to go golfing, checking everything. And I never was actually present. Even after my son was born, I left the hospital after he was born to go gambling. So no, but there's some faith there, I see, and that's all I ask for, just a little faith. Because each day, I know every day I wake up, I've got to realize I'm powerless over this thing, and that the love of God is the only thing that's going to draw me closer to my family. So the first thing I do is think about how lucky I truly am to have the program in my family. And then just let my just let God do the rest. You know, my thinking never works. Even this morning, David, my wife was on her phone, and it looked like she was hiding the phone from me, and I snatched it from her hand like an insecure, I don't even want to say the word, and she went, Father's Day, and it was a picture of some shoes that she was ordering for me. So no, I have a lot of work to do. I have to return to the love of God almost every second. I have to be vigilant in my thinking because I'm not perfect at all. And I did tell her sorry. That's the good thing about it is I can call her now and say, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm still insecure, Shelby. I don't know how to trust. I need all the love of God and the help of this program to keep me to keep me close to them. So, yeah, we're close. But there's some side eye going on. You know, I have to prove to myself that I'm willing to do this. And I can be abusive. And so. Just thank you so much for that question. It was awesome.
It was great. Thank you both for that. And Brent, you're up next. A comment or question for Andy?
Yes, I have a comment and a question. I'm Brent Escapulse, Gamble, who spent in the May 2006, calling from Boca Raton, Florida. So my comment is, I'm hoping I don't make this about me. I really do. You know, I don't usually send messages to people when they create shares and all this stuff. I love getting them, and that's probably a character defect. But I had such a character defect coming on here. I love Andy. And my first character defect was, oh, Andy does only have a short amount of time. You know, shouldn't you be a speaker and have 2, 3, 5, 10 years? And that is such a character defect. But I just want to say this. Wow. I didn't know Andy was going to be on today. And it's my higher power, which I call God, that put me to this meeting today. Because what a beautiful human being. What a beautiful share. What a beautiful life he's going to have one day at a time. And I just want to say, Andy, I love you very much. And your share was unbelievable because you spoke from the heart. And I guess my question to you is, I know it's one day at a time program, but what are your plans to keep moving forward in your recovery? What are your plans?
That's funny because, I was thinking about that, Brent, and I thank you. I thank you. I think you know I respect you, and you've been a faith in this program just as long as I've ever been in, and I remember you, and I respect you, and I understand your thinking. And it might not, you know, I've never heard of people with 6 months coming on and sharing. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity to share. But my plan is to wake up, pray. Now, in my prayers, I ask God, hey, please show me how I can serve this program better. So, yeah, getting into service. And before the meeting, you know, Michael P. said, I'm a sponsor. It would have to be a temporary sponsor, Michael. I haven't even worked all the steps with the sponsor yet. So I'm always here for you, Michael. So, yeah, we can write together and do all those things. But, you know, I've got to get pen to pad too and really write every day, you know. So please keep calling me. And Brent, yeah, just to finally get through the steps and write. You know, I did a lot of damage, and I have a lot of character defects. And I guess I'll just keep my prayer life going and ask God to reveal to me the defects that I don't see, you know, because there are some. And, you know, hopefully one day I can start a meeting in Indianapolis that's a cross comment meeting. You know, I just want a comment meeting in Indianapolis, and there's not that many, and I think I can do it, you know, with the help of God's love and the people in the program. I think I could start a meeting, but one day at a time, get through the steps, help somebody else work the steps, and hopefully I have a lot more friends that I can love and understand. You know, I really don't need to be understood today, and that's good. But it still kind of makes me mad if I'm not. All right, Brent, I appreciate you.
Beautiful. Thank you both, Larry.
Thank you, Dan. My name is Larry. I'm a compulsive gambler. Very grateful to be here today. Andy, it's a pleasure meeting you. I loved your share. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I just have a comment, no question. because your share said it all. Time is very overrated. I went to my first meeting in 1973, and all the years I had in this program were irrelevant. Today is the most important day. And what you shared reminded me of something I learned at AA, because your story is very compelling, very hardcore. And I'm sure you didn't even share all the war stories and everything you've been through. But in AA, it talks about no matter how far down the scale we have gone, our experience can benefit others. And regardless of how many days, months, years you have, your experience and your share can help many people. And I thank you.
Larry K, I thank you.
That's a heck of a comment. Thank you very much, Larry. Appreciate that. And we go to Michael P. Michael, do you know this gentleman named Andy H?
Michael P, grateful, free from the bet for today. Thank you, Dan, for the meeting and for the invitation from Andy and for everybody being here. You know, when I asked you, Andy, to work with me, I appreciated your reaching out to the new people and your demeanor and your you sound like you have like a long time recovery, you know, and that's amazing to know that you are where you are so soon, you know, and that's a testament to the power of God. That's a testament to the power of God, to willingness and this program, you know. And I loved your share. And I look forward to doing some work. And I am not who I would like to be, but I'm sure glad I'm not who I was. And getting better, you know, each and every day. Seek God, listen to readings that are just so powerful that I'm weeping at times, you know. And that's God working. You know, and I believe that everything in life can be of service to God, can be a ministry, you know. So anyhow, thank you all again for being here. And I just want to share that. And thank you again for your share. And God bless.
Michael, I wanted to tell you real fast that, you know, when I first came to a live meeting, it was 2007, but these meetings I've been these mobile meetings I've been coming, I've heard it all. I feel like I have, maybe I haven't heard it all, but all the beautiful little gems, like left foot in yesterday, right foot in tomorrow, then I'm urinating all over today, practice or progress not perfection, all that stuff, I know what to say. I just had no idea what to do, you know, and I had to open my ears up. And not so much these ears as this one, you know. Quit letting Andy take over and let this program teach me something. So it's not just progress, not perfection. That I, you know, I'm not using progress, not perfection as an excuse anymore. I'm trying to learn so I don't repeat it, you know. That's all.
It's so true. It's so beautiful. I have a question in the chat, and I also have a question for myself. And I also, before I do that, I want to let everybody know we're going to be doing elections next week on Tuesday for this meeting. So if you want to be part of the service and commitment, please be here so we can vote on a new host. The question in the chat is from a newer member as well. And I'm still struggling. What's that? Struggling with urges. What did you do about that? How did you get through?
That's a part of the miracle of the program. When I come to this program and I let it all out and I admit I'm powerless, the urge subsides. I give it to God. It's like, I like to imagine it like this. There's a, you know, those little canisters you put in at the bank and you hit send and it shoots it up. If I get angry, frustrated, lustful, argumentative, lazy, if those are signs that the ego's at work, and I can just pop it right in and send it to him. And that's it. You know, those, can you repeat the question so I know I answered it correctly, Dan?
The urges. What do I do about the urges?
Oh yeah. Call somebody, right away. If an urge comes to me, which it hasn't, and I know the ego's always looking for a soft spot, a weak spot to get me angry, to get me thinking that I don't need the program and complacent, you know. So yeah, calling somebody, going to meetings, that's the contract. It's be honest as you can. Tell on yourself if you lie. Go to meetings. And what's that other one, Hal P? Don't gamble for anything.
That's it. That's great advice. Thank you, Andy. I'm going to save my question till after Andrew. Andrew, you have a question or comment for Andy? Andrew and Andy.
Hi. Yeah. So, Andy, I'm pretty much a addicted gambler, self-diagnosed. And, yeah, I've been clean for about 2 days off bets. I want to make it 20 years at least, you know. And I've had Michael P in a couple of these Zoom meetings as well. But I guess my main thing I want to ask you, Andy, is, you know, I've had a very short and aggressive stint with this whole gambling thing. You know, I hadn't been gambling for years. I've only been gambling for about 3 months. And it took such a toll on me, obviously financially, mentally, physically. And I just wanted to hear from you, like, when you were first starting, you know, in your first week or two of recovery, what kind of ups and downs went through your head? You know, like, I'm sure you went up and down, just like most people did. But, like, what did you experience and how did you get through it to continue from being abstinent to gambling?
Yeah, there's something called post-acute withdrawal syndrome that happens to all of us once we stop. And the ups and downs are horrifying, whether it's dreams, sweat, sleepless, things like that. And the only thing I can say that, you know, because I couldn't handle it. I came to this program and left. I could never put 90 days together. So those downs, I let the ego take control. I let my own thinking think I could do with this myself. And that's the number one thing that I would do is I'd come back. They'd tell me, keep coming back, keep coming back. And I'd go out and gamble, trying to prove them wrong and thinking I could do this on myself, all by myself. And no, I can't. I'm a compulsive gambler. The first bet leads me to somewhere where I have no idea where it'll take me. You know, I hear people say, you know, I know what'll happen if I gamble. Well, for me, I don't. Death or destruction, madness, depression, anxiety, all that. This is the only cognitive health therapy that I have is GA, because they understand me. So GA, the meetings, are the only way that I would come back. I remember somebody told me, and this is another one of those sayings, keep coming back and we'll love you until you can learn to love yourself, Andrew. They say this is a selfish program. Well, I believe it's a selfless program. When I stop thinking about serving myself and I start thinking about helping others, there's no stopping me. There's no stopping the love of God that never leaves. And that's all.
I appreciate that, Andy. I really do. And
I think I remember you, Andrew, at a meeting. I stayed on, and you came to a meeting, and just recently, like a day or two ago, and I said, hey, this is the help. I don't have to put it off anymore. This is the help. I can start today, and you can too with me. You know, ups and downs, you know, we can share numbers. And, you know, I just want to welcome you with a warm embrace. You know, sometimes the embrace isn't warm enough for the newcomer. This is the help, brother. This is the help. Keep coming back to these meetings, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, these meetings have done something for me already. I've probably been, like I said, coming back for 2 days now, and this is probably like my 12th meeting. So I'm trying to take it as serious as I can, because this is literally do or die for people like us. So I got to do it.
Thank you, Andrew. And you're always welcome to come to this meeting. It's going on every single day for the last 6.5 years. So you're always welcome here as well. So here's the question, my question. Andy, if there was anything that you had difficulties with or you found that was hard to overcome, I don't necessarily need to know what that was, but how did you deal with it? How did you go over the hump?
More meetings. More meetings. The experience from other people. I can't do this by myself. So if I experienced some pain, the loss of my nephew, the loss of my aunt, the loss of there's so much grief that I've had in my life, I couldn't have done it without the meeting. So yeah, that's how I manage the pain, is the pain brought me here. And I'm glad it did, because I don't go through that pain anymore. I believe that it is an addiction to pain, this gambling. So if let's go back to that. What is gambling? It's a learned response, a learned inadequate response to life. So yeah, the meetings are an adequate response to life. So if I'm hurt, or if I'm angry, or if I'm frustrated, or if I'm feeling selfish and withdrawn from society, or whatever it is, I can come to these meetings. I can get right out of it by opening my ears. And, I open my mouth for far too long. My ears, they're important.
Yes, so true. So true. Thank you for that. Benjamin, you're up next, Benjamin. Welcome.
Hi, Andy. Thank you very much for that share. My name's Benjamin W., compulsive gambler. Haven't gambled in 48 days. And yeah, I just want to say thanks for the share. It was awesome. And the violin story touched me. I guess dealing with complacency, my question would be, I've made several months in the program several times, or free from gambling several times, several months. And how do you get away from that complacency? The thing that kind of like, yeah, I don't need it. I don't need the game or the program anymore. So I guess that would be my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Benjamin. I'm so glad that the violin story hit you. I don't care how hard it hit you, how soft it hit you. I'm just glad, because that story is so important to me, because I am valuable. I am valuable, especially with the love of this program. The spirit of this room helps me become valuable. Before I'm so excited right now. There's a lack of nervousness right now. So would you please ask that again, Benjamin? Benjamin, could you please ask the question again?
Yeah, sorry. So I
That's
guess
okay.
just my question is essentially addressing complacency in the program. I found the more time I'm away from gambling, things get better. And it's happened to me 3 times. I relapsed 4 times actually, where I'm months off of gambling, things get better, get complacent, don't need the program anymore. Even if it's not like I'm not thinking that necessarily, but slowly I drift away because things have gotten better and come crawling back when I've slipped. And I want to avoid doing that. So I guess my
Yeah.
question would be that, if that makes
All
sense.
right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so thankful for Hal, because, I used to think complacency was laziness, but it really isn't. It's this thing where I think I'm right about everything, and I don't need anything else. I urge you to, I think the answer to a lot of these questions is more meetings, more connection with the people in the program. Try and try and try again. But no. Never think I'm right all the time. Always be searching for more in this program. This is the help. We don't have to search much at all, because this is the help. But if we decide we are right about everything and we don't need this, we will go back to gambling. I believe that if a person quits going to the meetings like I did, every time I quit going to meetings, I would gamble. I would say, please. Please be ever vigilant about your thinking and be mindful of what your thoughts are, and don't attach to them. Give it all to God, every thought, and that's
perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you for the question, Benjamin. Thank you, Andy. And we have Ed. D. Ed, welcome.
Oh, hey, thank you, Dan. Ed D. Compulsive Gambler. I haven't placed a bet for 128 days. And Andy, man, I'm so proud of you. Talked about connection, and I isolated when I was gambling, and even in my early parts of my early recovery, I was recovering in isolation. And I remember I would always listen to you at Traverse City, and I would be so impressed with your shares. And then you mentioned my name once in one of your shares, and then you actually reached out to me, and I was just like blown away. I couldn't believe it. And you know, I get intimidated with like big meetings like this. Like, if you have a recorded share on that website, I've heard it. I've always wondered what you look like, Dan H, because I always hear your voice in those. And now I can hear Andy's share anytime I want. But I just wanted to say I love you, man. I love being able to talk to you at night and just sharing stuff that I wouldn't share with anyone else because they wouldn't understand. But I'm proud of you for what you did today, and just thank you. I'll be back.
Yeah, I think you know I love you, brother. I think you know I love you because I know I love you. And I do understand. I do understand this. And it's so good to have a friend like you. And I know you're going to help so many people, but, you know, one day at a time, if I quit coming to meetings, it's after me. If I quit coming to meetings, I'm going to lose you as a friend, and that'd be detrimental to my health. All right, thank you.